all we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owens, your co-host, along with
DT.
DT. It is a pleasure to be back here in Blackened Studios with you.
Yes, sir.
As always, man, we had a powerful podcast last time with Dr. Paul Ketchum.
And like you said, he was definitely an expert in his field. That guy spoke on so many different topics, man. We could have went hours.
Yeah, we could have. And then off the mic was beautiful.
Yeah, definitely beautiful. And we'll get to talk about some of the other things he mentioned in, in the conversation that we're going to have today.
Absolutely.
I remember and recall.
Absolutely. And we're just coming off again, as I would like to say, a historic day celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday.
Yes, sir.
And his contribution to not just the United States, but to the world.
The world, man.
And deep.
It's really interesting to see, you know, now how we live and how things are, the impact that Dr. King had on all of it. And we'll talk more about that. But just in your own words, because you lived during Dr. King's time.
I was a young boy.
Do you remember any of that?
No, I don't. You know, I was asked a question when I was at an event yesterday I was sitting next to older white lady, a little bit older than me. And she, you know, she asked me, did I remember? I said, no, I was too young to put that together. His impact, man, you know, every time I think about Dr. King or see something, you know, we played his last speech the night before he was assassinated.
Man, I'm just in awe of his commitment to justice, his desire not just for black people, but for all people, in layman's term, to get it.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we listen to his speech and we take away from that that he was going to not stop until justice was served.
No stopping. No stopping.
And he went through everything, the dogs and the water tanks and the beatings and the jail time. And he still stood up every day and got it done.
Man, we don't even want to stay late to work. you know what I mean? Let's just be honest, man. I mean, we, especially our young people, you say, well, you know, you got to work a little overtime. They fall out, you know, faces all crooked, you know, and I'm just, we don't even, man, the sacrifice, you know, that's what I'm talking about, brother, being in awe of an individual, not just him, but we're talking about Dr. King now, being in awe of an individual that is willing to lose it all.
Yeah. And we've lost that.
For others.
Tremendously lost that.
I'm talking about to lose it all for others. Mm. I mean, clearly, this brother, get this, was a scholar, a theologian, okay, author, great, one of the greatest orators of our time, maybe of all time. He could have just traveled around and got paid. He didn't have to interject himself into this fight.
He could have got on some Al Sharpton
come on, man.
Swag, huh?
he could have. I mean, Dr. King didn't have to pay the price. It was a choice. Now let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about greatness and the choice to do something great in the face of, man, just, you could lose it all.
I would think about myself in that time, and maybe with some of the same things that Dr. King thought about himself, is what is life, you know, without having those feelings of acceptance, of equality? And why not? Why not lay my life down for this? Because it's really the only thing that's going to make me feel alive anyway.
Man, you said a mouthful, man.
I mean, because, you know, think about it. Would you rather live your life every day oppressed, depressed, shut down, segregated, and all these other things that were going on during that time? Or fight for some freedom, or fight for something that's going to put you in a better position, even if it's not for your lifetime, but for the future generations that are going to go on behind you?
Well, I mean, you talk about in my, I guess, analysis of it would be the great call. I mean, you know, what does it say? Many are called, but few are chosen. I mean, this idea that King recognized, clearly he knew the predicament, but he recognized his role in trying to bring some resolution to it. And his willingness.
A moral responsibility.
A moral responsibility, man, that was just big. Okay, not just for your family, but for a country, for a world. You know, and then to tap into a philosophy, a Mahatma Gandhi philosophy of nonviolence, when folks have been traditionally and historically use violence against you, you're going to step on the scene and say, no, I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to bless them that curse me. If you want to hit me, if you want to jail me, I'm going to go willingly because I'm trying to make my enemy, as he said, my friend. Man, what is that?
How many of your enemies you want to make your friend?
I mean, isn't that? I mean, that's some higher
and
that's level thinking.
Like those little things that we go through day to day, and, you know, showing that compassion for another person, even though they've done us wrong, it's difficult to do.
Man, it's.
And, you know, even in the face of all the adversity and everybody hates you, you know, and you still got to stand up and love.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. Stand up and love. Stand up and love. And you think about this, if we contextualize this to our time right now, I mean, think about all the divisive talk that's going around, all the racist talk that's going around, you know, all the you know what I heard Trump say, man, and this what bothers, you know, he was at Liberty University. He doesn't know 2 Corinthians from 2 Corinthians, but that's a whole nother conversation.
2 Corinthians.
You know, it's crazy, right? But then he says, we broke a record here at Liberty University, and you know, this, we're going to dedicate this to Dr. King.
What was
because
what was the record?
Attendance.
Oh.
So we're going to dedicate that to Dr. King. You have totally missed. When you get rid of the racist language that you're spewing out of your mouth, when you embrace people because they are people, not because they are born Americans, not because they came across this border, but because they are individuals and peoples. Mm-hmm. When you start doing that, and when you give, as Christ said, sell all and give to the poor. When you start reaching out to the least among you, guess what? Then you start honoring Dr. King. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You have a million people in one room. How does that honor him? Unless the million people in that room support his vision, and his vision should be the vision of anyone, any humane, rational person.
That's a great point, because, you know, in what regard is that showing a respect to him if all of those people in the room don't share any of his values, any of his views?
None.
I mean,
none.
Even the person making the announcement. Do you think Donald Trump shares Dr. King's views?
Oh, absolutely.
Morality?
Oh, absolutely.
Empathy?
Oh, absolutely. none of that. None of that. Because any talk that divides us, any talk that marginalizes people, any talk that guess what, demonizes people, is not of Dr. King. So if you want to honor him, if we want to honor him, man, I can honestly say, you know, I can never speak for Dr. King, anybody other than Michael Eric Owens. But, man, I would say if he was alive today, DT, he would be extremely disappointed. And let's talk about this on two levels. Mm-hmm. Disappointed looking in and outside of the black community. Mm.
I would even argue that he would also be disappointed in the way that we go about representing him on his birthday.
Absolutely.
A hard thing for me over the years, you know, growing up on the East Side, being one of those kids who always participated in the Martin Luther King parades and all the events, it got harder over time seeing the dream diminish in a sense, because it wasn't anything to do with MLK. I mean, or honoring this man's, you know, legacy. It was just a riot, you know, to be honest with you. And I mean, and it hurt, because, you know, this is such an iconic figure, man. This is such an important person in our history, and we've done him, you know, the lowest we could do.
So
in regard to trying to uplift and uphold his name.
So what would you suggest, you know, in your, you know, if you was in charge of MLK Day across this country, what would you implement? What would you suggest?
First off, let's start with Black History Month. So in school, most kids learn about Dr. King. Most of them even maybe recite a speech. They do an assembly that, you know, kind of recreates some of the things that were going on back then to kind of shed light on what was happening. But I don't think there's any in-depth knowledge about who this man really was, what he stood for. And I think that any event associated with him should be about that. It shouldn't be about just the parade or just about, you know, these people doing their own thing, but that we're honoring Dr. King on his day for these reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I also want to go back. I don't want to forget. So, Richard, don't let me forget about this in and outside the community, Dr. King being disappointed. But I think it's important to we have popularized King,
mm-hmm.
you know,
like some type of, you know, token Negro.
Yeah, yeah. Nice cartoon character that everybody loved, you know, that everybody embraced. I mean, even today. We do not have the courage to embrace a message that this man had in the 60s. We still have difficulty embracing that message, you know. So I agree with you totally. We have a misunderstanding of who Dr. King was.
And I don't think people actually know who Dr. King is. That's my issue. I mean, like we're talking about the events and everything that goes on around the time. I mean, if you ask most people who was Dr. King, they can only really tell you
I have a dream.
That he gave the I have a dream speech. He stood for, you know, this, that, and the other, but they don't really know anything about him.
You know, he had given that speech multiple times.
Yeah, and people act like that was the only time that it happened.
And the people that hung around with him when he always used to go to that speech, they said, okay, here we go.
Right.
And then but so many on that day had not been privy to that speech. But yeah, he had given that speech multiple times. And the one thing they say about Dr. King he used to do, which was funny, he would, you know, when they used to be in the hotel room, he would preach everybody's funeral. Just for fun. He would preach. He would just preach your funeral.
That's
man.
Funny.
And, you know, he was a bad man, right? But yeah, I mean, you, this idea of understanding who he was and his commitment to social justice, his commitment to I would say writing the correct narrative of our society. This idea, man, we are in the 21st century, DT, and we still are arguing about whether or not black folk can be seen as equal.
Yeah.
I mean,
really,
man. I mean,
there's been so much done though to our psychology that feed into that.
You're probably talking about our inferiority complex that we have.
Exactly. And where did it come from? You know, who have we always seen as the superior race, the superior people, the superior? You know,
well, that's what that
kind
that's,
of construct of well, what life is.
Oh, absolutely.
And what it's about.
Well, that's what Dr. Ketchum talked about, looking at everything through this white lens. I mean, when that becomes your starting point and your frame of reference, then the other is always going to be the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing to me, man. I was watching this episode. You know, because this is what's so funny, right? Black History Month around King's birthday, you get all these black shows that come on TV, right? You know, Eyes on the Prize, and you get
the Pan Homage, huh?
You get, man, I watch Malcolm X again, Spike Lee Malcolm X, right? And then I saw this this special, and it was, I believe it's titled Colors. And it talked about, you know, it dealt with both sides. First, it dealt with darker black men, and then it dealt with the dark skinned black women, and how society has just wreaked havoc on folks simply because their skin is darker. Mm-hmm. And I just think, man, I'm sorry, man. I live in the enlightenment world, man, and I it's hard for me to even get down with that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't even know how to, you know, when I hear a person say, you know, as because, you know, you a man, you're a little lighter, you don't want a dark skinned girl because of, you know, and I'm just thinking it's hard for me to get down with that, man, because there's beauty in everybody.
True.
You know what I mean? I don't care what your skin color is, man, white, black, brown, whatever it may be. There is beauty in everyone, man. All you have to do is look.
Yeah.
If your eyes are open, you'll see beauty. But if you jacked up yourself, okay, you won't see anything, man. But again, getting back to King, 21st century, how can we still be grappling with these same issues in a society that has made enormous progress in the areas of medicine, of technology, but in race relations? We're archaic and draconian in the way that we even deal with one another.
And I think, I mean, just like you're saying, man, King looking in and looking out would be equally disappointed at the way things have unfolded. And, you know, it's, I mean, we have to look back and back and back into our history and see why these things have happened to us and are still happening to us. But also, like you said, we're almost, what, 50 years removed from mm-hmm. King's era.
Yeah.
And we're still going through these same little.
Same.
Insignificant issues.
Same. Same. Same.
When do we start to grow up, you know?
It's amazing. Let's talk a minute about Dr. King and his disappointment in the black community. Because, see, we about to make some folks upset here
okay.
in a minute. They're going to. We love getting your mail. Shout out to all our international and our national audience. We appreciate you. We love getting your mail. But we know sometimes we say some things that are quite controversial. Well, one mic, one voice. Change the world. It's your choice, right?
Yeah.
yeah. You see how I segue on that one. We're going to come back to that. But Dr. King, in my opinion, now, you folks out there that's not taking care of your families, got drugs and drug houses in your neighborhood, you preachers out there more concerned about your bottom line than feeding the hungry, taking money from your congregants and they can't even pay their own electric bill. I think Dr. King will have issues with that. Mm-hmm. The way we run around here and not take responsibility for the killings that's in our neighborhood, black on black crime.
These are our children, man. These are our family members. These are people we know.
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And we
brother.
Shut up about it all.
Oh, we don't say anything. We don't say anything. But I guarantee you. Everybody's in that room talking about how great Dr. King was. Dr. King would not be pleased with that. He's not pleased with any level of violence, folks. That's what we need to understand. He would be deeply, deeply concerned about the state of education in the black community. Mm-hmm. Okay? The families and the children you deal with. Talk for a minute about how King would feel about that.
Man, just like you pointed out, all of these different characteristics of neighborhoods and communities that are broken down and broken, Dr. King would not be, you know, pleased to walk through any of these places and observe and see what's going on. The thing about it is, man, I really believe that like we've talked about in previous shows, is that it's not all about trying to change everybody. You mm-hmm. know, you have to start with yourself.
Yeah.
And so if any of us even took an inkling of what Dr. King stood for, and on that day we all came together and decided each year that we would be that much better, we'd all be better for it.
Yes.
I mean, even for a day, you know, to feel love and to give love just for a day, everybody.
And brother.
Who's spreading the Dr. King's message, man, I think we'd all be better for it if every year we could at least build on that day.
Yeah, yeah. Why is that seen as weakness, man? Why is it seen that when you show love, are you talking about what you're talking about right now? People see that as weak.
I think a lot of people haven't been given love, don't know what love looked like, don't know how to express it.
Mm.
And if I'm that type of person, then how would I ever give it out? I mean, if it ain't in my mind, how do I get it out of there?
Yeah, I'm just on the take.
Yeah.
I exactly. can't give nothing.
What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me?
Yeah,
lately?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just on the take. I can't give nothing. I mean,
and then like you're talking about, I can't give anything.
Yeah.
Nobody has even invested in our talent sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, what are my talents? What can I give?
Yeah.
What are these things that I have inside of me that somebody else could bring out and I could give abundantly to somebody else?
Yeah. To give. Better to give than receive. I read it somewhere. Somewhere.
Somewhere. One of them books.
One of them books. One of them, as my daddy used to say, the good book.
The good book.
But man, you know, I grew up in the inner city, okay? But one thing I will say, my grass was always cut. Our house was painted. Okay? Our rooms were made.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Now, y'all might say, okay, this is trivial. No, it's not, because I'm saying this speaks to a larger problem, okay? If you won't take care of your property, you say, well, I don't own it. Well, you live in it, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, it should look like something. It should be a reflection of you, the reflection of how you feel about yourself and how you feel about those that are in that household. Man, we walk through the inner cities today. Oh, come on, man.
Trashed up.
Come on.
Drugged up.
Okay. Fences all tore up.
These are right outside of places where children are, man. Like, you can't have a drug house right across the street from the elementary school.
What are you teaching your children when your grass is as high as they are trying to walk around? Okay, I'm just being real, man. The house is tore up. What are you teaching your children? I mean, this goes back to what you said, DT. We may not be able to solve the world's problem, okay, but Mrs. Johnson's problem is Mrs. Johnson get her act together. Okay, Mr. Johnson, start coming home after work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right, started hitting the club or something. You know what I mean? Come
taking
on, man.
Taking a long way home.
Yeah, taking a long way home. But I'm serious, man.
You got people who don't even want to go home, man.
No peace.
Don't want to go home.
No peace.
That's a toxic place. Why would I want to spend my time there with those people who only continue to bring me down further?
A message. You know, to the black community, I mean, what I think Dr. King would be, oh, man, just so saddened by the lack of authentic black leadership. Mm. Let me say that. Authentic.
Authentic.
OK.
That means real.
That right? means real. We got some leaders.
That means certified.
That's right. We got some leaders. Mm-hmm. OK. But they're not authentic. They're not real. They're not certified. They're not leading people. They're taking from people. Mm. When our leaders are on the take, this Cleflo Dollar, okay?
All about the dollar.
Oh, yeah. He want this jet, man. You know, I'm saying, this is what I don't understand, man. We cannot understand the sacrifices that people have made in order for us to be here in this place right now, if we have a mindset of what can I get out of this? Mm. You see, and people have, from little boys, that's why I try to say to you just a little bit ago, DT, these little black boys and girls, what are we teaching them? Because when they get up, they're going to rise up with a sense of entitlement and I'm on the take.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on the take. Okay. Instead of raising them to serve. Mm. Man, I used to say to my mother, man, I never forget, man. My mother volunteered for everything, man. And she dragged us along with her, man. I mean, we just, you know, we kicking and screaming, right? And I remember I told her one day, I said, Mama, why do you do things you don't get paid for?
Straight up, huh?
Yeah, I was just like, man, you do all this stuff and you don't get paid for. She said, you understand one day. Mm. My reply was her, I'm never going to do anything I don't get paid for.
Before you understood, right?
Before I understood what she was teaching me. Mm. She was schooling me, teaching me by example. And so when the boy becomes a man, okay, he understands that which he has come from. Mm. And my desire is to fulfill that which was placed in me. Mm. I can't abandon that, even if I wanted to. Why? She made sure it was part of me.
Yeah, it was planted.
So I do plenty of things I don't get paid for, man. Matter of fact, I think I do more things that I don't get paid for than what I get paid for. Right. You know what I mean?
And you kind of probably more drawn to those things you don't get paid for.
Oh, absolutely, man, because that's where the heart is at, is helping, empowering, giving back, being part of something special, getting involved, overcoming the challenges, helping people overcome the challenges that they're faced, man. That's what Dr. King was all about. He was a sacrificial leader. Mm. I'm willing to do it all.
Willing to give it all.
I don't know if you had a chance to, you ever been to the King Center in Atlanta?
I have not.
Okay. Mm-mm. We need to go together, brother. I had the first.
You told me about your experience.
Yeah, yeah, man. It was beautiful, man. I mean, it's something about being on hollow ground. You know, it's something about being just near greatness, man, that just makes you just look at yourself. You know, you just look internally and just say, man, I need to do some work, man. Mm-hmm. You know, man, I need help, man. Somebody need to help me, man, because I'm next to somebody that, man, was willing to and did pay the price. Had went to the Lorraine Motel, man, where he was assassinated at, man. That was deep because everything is preserved like it was. Everything. They just kept it that preserved. Even the food, they preserve everything.
Wow.
And you can look in there and see. And it's just amazing, man, when I think about his final moments. He was a man that was out just to, man, just to enlighten people and bring people together and to break down the walls that divide us. He was a man that had this burden on his heart, brother. Mm. Burden on his heart. I mean, he was there to help sanitation workers. He wasn't there for he was getting anything out of the deal. They called. They needed him. He was there to march with them. Man, he steps out. Bam. Mm. Gone.
Gone.
Forever. Forever.
And for what? You know?
Exactly.
When you think about it, for what?
And that's that. And see, that's what we're talking about here, brother. For what? Somebody answer for me. Our listeners, send us, explain, because I don't get it. I'm still confused about how we have so much hatred. So much hatred for someone simply because of the color of their skin. Help me understand that world.
Dr. Ketchum talked about this in our last episode and this idea of white habitus, in which, you know, there's a kind of way of life for white people and the things that they think that they are privileged to them in the way that they act and the way that they do things and the way that they look at other people. And it's not real.
No, it's not real.
And it's not real. And I think about that when I think about Dr. King being assassinated, because this man had an idea of his whiteness being something more than what Dr. King was and what his message was and what he stood for.
Threatened by,
and use that to take his life.
Absolutely. Threatened by the truth. Mm. That's what it boils down to. My behavior causes me to act violently because I am threatened by the truth. Because the truth is, we have all been created equally. That's the truth. Mm. Hey, you can slice it and dice it any way you want to. When you look at a baby, look at a black baby, white baby, Hispanic baby, it's a baby. It's got the same organs.
Same basic needs.
Same basic. The truth is, okay, folks do not want to face the reality of that truth. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. Hey, Martin Luther King Jr., we love you. We're still inspired by you. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Be sure to like us on our Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. Follow all of our content on the OneMicOneVoice.com website, or be sure to email me at dt@OneMicOneVoice.com or Michael Eric Owens at OneMicOneVoice.com. Keep listening.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice. Wow.
Man, that was a heavy first segment. You know? Yeah. I'm like over here about to write another speech.
Yeah, right.
But no, seriously, we were talking about the events. And like I said, over time for me, it kind of got difficult going out and supporting, you know, the different Martin Luther King activities. So for you, were you able to get out and go to any of the events?
You know, well, first of all, I had the honor last year of being the keynote speaker for the Oklahoma City Martin Luther King Day program at St. Paul, the big program they did. So that was an honor, man. I mean, that was, you know, and I've been blessed enough to speak at certain locations, but that was a huge honor to to step up to the microphone. In honor of Dr. King, had to be one of the highest honors I think I've received.
And so
that, yeah, man, that meant a lot to me, man. And to even be considered, you know, mm-hmm. to do that meant a lot to me. Very humbling. And so this year I went I went back to I'm laughing here because I went back to the events and I went to the prayer breakfast, and as I was leaving and you know, I posted this on Facebook, you know, as I was leaving, I was handed a brochure of Dr. Ben Carson. And you know, I when
did it have the Martin King speech on the back of it?
Yeah, it wasn't I have a dream, it's I have a nightmare. And again, man, I want to say that I respect Dr. Ben Carson, brilliant neurosurgeon. Big respect for him. I got big respect for him. But to compare him to Dr. King is a nightmare. And you know what I had to say here? I just, man, you know, I'm walking with his brochure in my hand. And I'm thinking, man, should I just put it in the garbage? And I'm like, no. I got to play some on Facebook about this. And so my post was a couple of guys were handing these out as I left the MLK prayer breakfast this morning. I think I felt Dr. King turn over in his grave, just saying. I mean, you know, it's just, man, how could you, again, the only thing they have in common. Now, again, this might get some folks mad at me because I know I got a brother, good friend of mine. He likes Ben Carson. I get that. And we have other friends that like Ben Carson. I get that. But listen to me, my dear brothers and sisters, white and black and Hispanic. Listen, Asian. The only thing him and Dr. King have in common is their skin tone.
Hey, yo, so I'm looking at the brochure now, and at the bottom, his tagline is "A breath of fresh air." Would you agree with that?
Nah, bro. We need a purifier in here because ain't nothing fresh about Brother Carson, man. He's way over the pale, man, when it comes to some of the things that have come out of his mouth. I would not want a Muslim to be a president. Dr. King would be completely against that. His stand against poor black people and the way he talks about poor black people, Dr. King would be totally against that. Get this, folks. If you want to say that you're in the same bus vehicle with Dr. King, you would have come with love, man, because that's what he came with, his heart, his words. Okay, when Dr. King was attacked, did he attack back? He just spoke truth to power, man. He talked about the injustices that were happening to minority people, but he didn't talk about taking up arms. He didn't say, let's go get a federal building. Let's go take it back. Let's get our shotguns. Mm-hmm. He said, no, we need to be nonviolent. He said, physical, not physical force. Love was a force to him. And so
it was his only weapon. Right.
It was the only weapon, bro. He was scrapped with it, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was scrapped deep with love. And these perpetrators out here. Yeah. I'm going to call Ben Carson a perpetrator. You at the MLK, you got folks at the MLK breakfast handing out your trifling brochure. I'm just going to keep it real. You not in the same ballpark with Dr. King. Dr. King was assassinated for his beliefs. He lost his life. His children lost their father. His wife lost her husband. You saw the other day when his granddaughter, the president greeted his granddaughter. Lovely picture. Ben Carson, you are not even on the same planet as Dr. King. I mean, it you know what? And again, if Ben Carson want to believe in the things that he does, I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to change his mind. I'm not going to vote for him. But again, he has the right to do that. But listen, folks, to me, that's like, man, that's man. I almost said something, Richard.
You almost had to pull out the bleep button.
Yeah, you might have to pull out the bleep button, man. Because I'm, well, Because I was all going to say, it's like that dude up in, what was that dude that had that KKK uniform on up in the mayor's husband? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's almost like him showing up there handing out stuff, man. I mean, that's how far the Gulf is.
Yeah.
I'm not calling Mr. Carson that he's part of the KKK, but what I'm saying is when you have an anti-poverty a stand against poverty, you're against it, in other words, is what I'm trying to say, and you're talking about people that are in poverty as if they just need to pick themselves up, as if they put themselves there, as if, you know, when you look down on the least among us, then you might as well put yourself in a whole different class. And so I just thought that was hilarious, man, that they gave it to the wrong cat.
And I think, like you're saying, we have these like separating classes. It makes it a lot easier for you to separate yourself and even, you know, stay removed from the places that, you know, are run down or are considered like,
yes,
you know, low poverty areas.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and I also.
And then just speak more to the disconnection that those people have with those communities and want to speak for at the same time.
Absolutely. I want to toss out right quickly, man. A good friend of mine, a professor in Wisconsin, Nat Godley, man. Nat on Facebook, man, is just putting out some incredible information. And he put out about I don't know if you know this, the one brother that got shot by the police. The video that was released, a 911 caller claimed that this individual had, and I wish I could pull it up, but he picked up a BB gun. He was there just getting some s'mores for their family reunion, and he picked up a BB gun and was walking around the store with it. And he was 22 years old. He was a father. And what happened was John Crawford III, a white guy, saw him, called the cops, and they came in, man, like it was a wild, wild west, and killed the young man.
Just shot him down.
Shot him down, dead. They were exonerated. Now the video just recently came out. Dr. King, okay, would just be outraged at the death of young black men all over this country. How many, DT, how many of us have to die? Here is a man. He just picked up a BB gun. It belongs to Walmart.
The store sells it, right?
Exactly.
So what's the procedure of buying one and taking it to the counter or being able to pay for it?
The guy said that he was pointing the gun at him then, now, but he has since then
rebutted that.
Yeah, he recanted his statement. What about the people that are making these calls, making these false claims? They should be charged with murder, right along with the police officers.
Because they're ultimately responsible for the outcome.
Man, that could have been us. I mean, really, we go in, we pick up something, it's BB gun. I might get it for my son or something. I'm walking around with it, and next thing I know, I got officers storming in. I got a gun in my hand. It's a BB gun. It's a Walmart BB gun. And you shoot me, and you kill me.
And nobody's responsible.
Nobody's responsible for.
I think we have to revamp our processes, man, from top to bottom, just to figure out what is the proper procedure, what the hell is going on, and why is it continuing to happen in this way, and nobody's responsible, and nobody gets blamed for anything.
The problem in King's day was black empowerment. Black lives were seen as a threat.
And they still are.
They still are a threat. Simply the skin that you are in makes you criminal, makes you untrustable, makes people frightened of you simply because you were born that way. Black is beautiful.
And Dr. Ketchum talked about
these
biases and these untrue feelings about, you know, blacks and people of color who are oftentimes put in more criminal lights, or, you know, as more criminalistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the truth. It's just that because they control the statistics, they control the way that the information is put out.
Absolutely.
They can skew the numbers in whatever way they want to.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you claim it as truth, but just because it came from this scientific study.
Yeah, 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 yeah. As he said, using the anomalies as the norm in black culture. Oh, yeah, man. I'm like James Brown, you know, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, listeners. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being black. Black is not deficient. Black is just black. White is just white. Okay, it has nothing to do with being deficient. So I think sometimes, DT, when they hear us talk about this, they go, "Yeah, he wish he was white."
You think so?
I think they feel like sometimes there are not all, but there are some that go, "Yeah, you know, I believe if they thought they were white, they would want to be white because their lives would be better." No.
I heard a lady say,
"I've been black all my life and love it."
I heard a lady say, she was standing up in front of a group of multiple colors of people,
mm-hmm.
Just simply ask them, you know, mm-hmm. right now, if any of you would like to change places with blacks in America and the way that they've been treated and the way that they've been viewed, stand up right now.
Yeah.
Nobody stood up. Mm. And so she said to her, that spoke to their understanding that there was a problem.
Yeah.
And so like you're saying, it's not the fact that we want to be white,
yeah.
or that we want to be something other than who we already are, but that we don't want to be treated like crap either.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
We want to be treated as human beings.
Yes.
Because being white, being black, being Hispanic, being Asian,
yeah.
all of them have their own issues
yeah.
and beauties, mm. you know, but it doesn't deter the fact that we're all human beings at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. We are. And I couldn't have said that any better. Yes. You were right on. Man, I almost gave a dollar to.
I'll keep it, man. I'm going to need something later.
Okay.
I don't want it right
See,
now.
See, Richard got his head out. Yeah.
See.
Hey, but folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back. We want to talk a little bit about this Oscar thing that's going on in the news. So we'll be right back.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice. And be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher, where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious. You know, I'll say this, this Oscar kind of outrage that's mm-hmm. happening now, it's pretty sad to me that no minority has been recognized for the last 2 years.
I think I've seen a trend in that. I mean, people have spoke out about this for years, blacks being underrepresented in these awards and not getting proper recognition. What do you think is up with that?
Well, I think it's just a reflection of what's going on in our society, period. From historically, even up until this point, it shows that minorities are not appreciated as the white majority. I mean, it's to me, all of the movies out here, all of the screenplays, come on.
Yeah.
You're trying to tell me you can't find one?
And these people have social media kind of now is like a platform of your following, you know, people who are interested in what you do.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And you cannot tell me that out of, the millions of people who follow these black actors and actresses would not have liked to see them win some of the awards from the movies that they've played in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I know that Jada Pinkett Smith posted a video. And she has some interesting things to say, and so let's take a listen to that.
Hi, today is Martin Luther King's birthday. And I can't help but ask the question, is it time that people of color recognize how much power, influence that we have amassed, that we no longer need to ask to be invited anywhere? I ask the question, have we now come to a new time and place where we recognize that we can no longer beg for the love, acknowledgement, or respect of any group? That maybe it's time that we recognize that if we love and respect and acknowledge ourselves in the way in which we are asking others to do, that that is the place of true power. I'm simply asking the question. Here's what I believe. The Academy has the right to acknowledge whomever they choose, to invite whomever they choose. And now I think that it's our responsibility now to make the change. Maybe it is time that we pull back our resources and we put them back into our communities, into our programs, and we make programs for ourselves that acknowledge us in ways that we see fit that are just as good as the so-called mainstream ones. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Begging for acknowledgement or even asking diminishes dignity and diminishes power. And we are a dignified people and we are powerful. And let's not forget it. So let's let the Academy do them with all grace and love. And let's do us differently. I got nothing but love. Hey, Chris, I will not be at the Academy Awards and I won't be watching. But I can't think of a better man to do the job at hand this year than you, my friend. Good luck. And to the rest of you, nothing but love, always.
Wow. Yeah.
She made some really good points, though. Yeah. I mean, why put it in their hands now when we have the technology and the resources, you know, to put on our own productions if that's what it calls for?
And I think it was fitting on MLK Day because it is, and some would say that's you know, kind of career suicide. I don't know how better to put it, because the industry could shut her out. However, sometimes you got to take a stand, man. Yeah. Like my uncle said, if you won't stand for something, you stand for everything. And so I think there is a point where you have to say, this is not right. I might have to pay the price for this, and calling on others to do that. Now, me too. I support Chris Rock, man. You know, he's a funny guy, man. I like Chris. He's a great actor. But I won't be watching. You know, I can't support that which is exclusive. Mm-hmm. No longer. We're in the 21st century. I don't care if it's, you know, I want things to be inclusive. I want all peoples to be recognized and have a seat at the table. And brother, I just can't get behind it.
I think and what Jada was arguing is that, you know, we will take a lot of time, you know, boycotting and not going to the war shows. And but what you gonna do about it?
Yeah.
If this is what they're gonna decide every year, this has been the pattern, then what can you do now to take it into your own hands and make a change? Like she said, we need to put more money into our own programs, our own functions that represent us the way that we feel is legit.
No, I agree with you totally. But Janet Hubert has a completely different and we're going to take a last break here. But when we come back,
Janet Hubert, if you don't know, is Vivian, who was the auntie on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes. So we will be right back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of the Black Box Podcast. Wanted to tell you, thanks again for listening to the One Mic, One Voice. Please be sure to check out their Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. And while you're on Facebook, go ahead and stop by Blackin Studios. Also, check out our website, blackinstudios.com, to find all the podcasts that record here, including the One Mic, One Voice Show, the Black Box, the Elijah Bailey Show, the Roxy by Design Show, and also the Gamer Stand Podcast. Thanks again for all of your support, and remember, it's Blackin.
Welcome back. So we're going to go into the opposition, the opposite opinion given by Janet Hubert, responding to Jada Pinkett Smith's boycott of the Oscars.
And be advised, she does use some colorful language. So I mean, if you got your young ones, you might want to move them from the room because the sister is
going in. I mean, here she goes.
To you, not in a post, but sort of in a post. And I got to say, I've been trying to figure out, do I really want to do this? And yeah, I do. I do. Today being the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and hitting 60 years old, I'm at that point where I'm like, I don't give a kitty. I want to say something about Jada Pinkett Smith asking other actors, black actors and actresses, to boycott the Oscars. First of all, Miss Thing, does your man not have a mouth of his own with which to speak? And the second thing is, girlfriend, there's a lot of shit going on in the world that you all don't seem to recognize. People are dying. Our boys are being shot left and right. People are hungry. People are starving. People are trying to pay bills. And you talking about some motherfucking actors in Oscars. And it just ain't that deep. And here's the other thing. For you to ask other actors and other black actresses and black actors to jeopardize their career and their standing in a town that you know damn well, you don't do that. And here's the other thing, they don't care. They don't care. And I find it ironic that somebody who has made their living and made millions and millions of dollars from the very people that you're talking about boycotting, just because you didn't get a nomination, just because you didn't win, that is not the way life works, baby. Okay? And it's very suspect to me. And I seem to recall, 26, 27 years ago, 25, whatever it was. Look, I don't even remember, but I seem to remember at option time coming to you and saying, you know what, Will? You're the star of the show. Why don't we all get together? And with you, maybe we could get a little raise. Maybe the network, since you know the show is such a hit and you being the star of the show, your influence would help us greatly, like they did on Friends, like white shows do. Remember that? Do you remember that? Because I do. And your response to me was, my deal and y'all deal is y'all deal. Well, karma must be a bitch, because now here you are. Here you are. You've had a few flops. And you know, there are those out there who really deserved a nod. And Idris Elba was one of them. Lord have mercy. Beast of No Nation was incredible. That man is an incredible actor. You are not. Maybe you didn't deserve a nomination. I didn't think, frankly, you deserved a Golden Globe nomination with that accent, but you got one. And just because the world don't go the way you want it to go, doesn't mean that you can go out and then you start asking people to stand up and sing, "We Shall Overcome" for you. You ain't Barack and Michelle Obama. And y'all need to get over yourselves. You have a huge production company that you only produce your friends, your family, and yourself. So you are a part of Hollywood. You are a part of the system that is unfair to other actors. So get real. Now, for those of you who say, "Miss Huber, here she go, being bitter." Bitches, please. It's not about being bitter. It's about being right. You know, some of us got mortgages to pay. We got bills to pay. We got bigger shit to worry about than the Oscars. The only Oscar I care about right now is Oscar Mayer Wiener with mustard and relish. And on that note, Blacktress Janet Hubert, signing off.
Wow. Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Relish and mustard. Man, wow. She went off.
She went deep. Golly. Deeply off.
I mean, like I think you mentioned before, She's making two really different points, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one, for me, looking at her giving this address, is that she may not understand totally the power that really Jada Pinkett Smith is speaking of mm-hmm. that people have now.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you know, her kind of
deep lost feelings about, you know, what happened to her during the show and when the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thing.
It's personal. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I get from it, man. And like you say, it's two separate arguments. One is about this exclusion from the highest awards that an actor can get for their particular work, a writer for their particular work in Hollywood. Vice, again, we understand people are dying. We understand that people are hungry. We understand
they
folks need
mortgages.
We understand that that's a different argument. Okay. And when you infuse the two, it becomes irrational. And again, I ain't got nothing wrong against Sister Janet. All I should say that she need to work through through those personal issues that she has with them.
Probably ain't heard from Will since. She probably just waiting to hear from him.
And again, man, I mean, he was a kid. He was
can't
a,
Will
I,
say yeah. it? Don't he got a mouth of his
Don't
own?
Don't he got a mouth of his own? And you know, I mean, he was young too, man. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not gonna make excuses for him, but to me, that stuff right there shouldn't be played out in the public sphere. I mean, if you got an issue, man, let's make peace, man. You did this on Dr. Martin Luther King Day, when you should be showing love. And Jada didn't come out and criticize the Oscars. She said the Oscars can do them. And so
do us.
We have to express ourselves. And again, I know the sister makes some valid points, but it wasn't in love, man.
Not comparative either, like you said.
No, it wasn't.
These are two totally different spectrums we're dealing with here.
No.
We're not talking about people's day-to-day livelihood. I mean, we're talking about respect.
Absolutely. Being rewarded and being seen among your peers as being equal and having access and being thought about. But I want to get back to what, and we're going to close here in just a minute, but I want to get back to this idea of, again, not looking. I mean, the bigger picture, the bigger question is not looking for an award or a governing body or anyone to validate you. Come on, D, to validate you. We don't need anyone. You don't need anyone to validate you. You're great. You're awesome.
Already.
You're wonderful because you are part of the human family. And with that, you should be treated with dignity and respect. And you should be content.
Yes, sir.
And whatever your situation is, whether you sitting in a 10,000 square foot house or you sitting in a mobile home, no one's better. We are all equal. Mm. And what we want you to take away from this show is that sort of love that Dr. King shared, share it, give it up, serve your community, but believe in yourself, believe in the fact that you matter. Mm. A man died so that you could matter. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's like, man, our lives could be over like that, man.
Like that.
And, you know, life is just this very short, very precious, sensitive thing. You know, we're just holding on by our heartbeats and our breath and our brains, you know, and we can leave here right now and all be over with.
Yeah.
You know, so why not today, you know, give love to somebody.
Absolutely.
Go to somebody you know you haven't connected with in a long time.
Yeah.
But know you still love them, man. Y'all may not be seeing eye to eye right now. And that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
bring it
love's
together.
Still there.
Yeah, yeah. We have to come together, folks. That's why it's not two mics, two voices. One mic, one voice. We have to come together in unity as people, as human beings, not as Americans, listen, but as a human race. We need to come together, overcome our differences, and move beyond. Man, we had a heavy show, man.
It was, man. I appreciate having these conversations with you, man. I grow each day I come here and am able to share, you know, another part of myself.
Man, I appreciate you, brother. But how else could we go talking about Dr. King? We can't be handling out wolf cookies, as they say back in the day, right? I took you back, didn't
man,
you? Wolf cookies.
Man.
Now we can't be handing out. Nah, bro, we got to sit down with the full buffet when we come deal with Dr. King.
Yeah.
And man, I love this show, brother. I love being here with you. Love Richard in the place. One mic, one voice. Hey, listen, we got coming up the Ralph Ellison Gala at the History Center, 6 p.m. Go online, get your tickets at Ralph Ellison Foundation.
I'm gonna be looking sharp,
man, bro. You always when you dress up. I want to see Richard in a tux. I ain't seen Richard in a tux yet. But I know the brother gonna look smooth though too. No. I saw your wedding pictures though. So the brother looks smooth.
Yeah, he was
I can
fresh.
Tell you. Yeah, he got a little height on him too, cause he be trying to look down at me a little bit. I see. I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm gonna have to get some Prince shoes or something. But hey, listen, we appreciate everything that you continue to bring our way. One mic, one voice. We love you. Let's spread some love, as DT said, because listen, folks, history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we saw nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.